Welcome to another special edition of Overtime, Summer Style, as we roll through the dog days of summer. Joining us is Rochester Century head coach Bruce Frutiger. Once again on the air, Bruce, thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to join us on Overtime here on the MN Hockey Hub Radio Network.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to get a chance to talk about high school hockey.
Indeed it is. So let's we'll reach back first and take a look at your squad last year. You were 18-8 overall, including the playoffs. 8-1 in the Big Nine. Was that the season you were looking for? There are a lot of expectations on that team once again coming off the state tournament.
Oh, you bet. We had a great group of guys last year, and they're a hardworking crew and had a very successful season in a lot of ways. Many of them, I'm sure, would tell you that they thought they'd finish too soon and didn't get to play the end of the season that they wanted to. But just a group of guys that really came together and played for each other and had the team aspect of things down, which is always super.
You know, does that fuel from year to year if they end up finishing too soon? Do you see that catapults them into quality summers too?
It does leave the kids hungry. There's no doubt about it. And you know, when you finish strong and you achieve kind of as far as you think maybe it was possible that you do, you kind of feel like you've accomplished something and say, hey, you know, we're doing okay. When that doesn't work out and it doesn't happen that way, I think it definitely leaves everybody kind of with a sense of, you know, we can't let that happen again. We've got to get after it. We've got to work a little bit harder. And I think that definitely was the case with the kids from last season. And just talking with the boys throughout the summer and then into coming up to the school year here, there's quite a few that have really, you know, put in a lot of time in the weight room already. And off ice, just trying to work harder to find an edge.
You know, your club has made three state trips to the state high school hockey tournament, and success kind of has come early on. You know, when you split off from school, sometimes it takes a while. What's been the key for your squad at Century?
I just missed that, Pete. I'm sorry, the last part of that question?
Oh, no, that's right. I was just wondering what the key to your squad was with three state tournament appearances as a group. And it's been relatively early. When a team splits off, you know, from other schools or another school is built, sometimes it takes some time. What's been the key to your program there for all its success?
I think, the boys have been really fortunate over the years to find their way to the section finals. And every year, that's a goal, and it certainly doesn't happen every year, and there's so many things that can happen, and that, you know, those two games moving into sections that can stop you from getting to the final game, and you have to get there before you can bust through. And I think one thing that's made a huge difference is just the work ethic of the kids that come through, knowing they have to work hard. We oftentimes aren't deep with talent, and the boys know kind of how they match up and where they fit in, and they know that hard work's got to be the name of the game. And so I think that's been big. The other thing I think that's really, really important is that we always talk about the fact that high school hockey is fun, and it's an unbelievable game. It's a privilege to play it, and the game requires a huge amount of respect. And I think the boys just really know that and understand that, and they can move through a season and into playoffs having a great time doing what they love doing. And I think those two things, you know, since Century opened the doors, I think those two things have been just a huge part of the kids that have played for Century, and it's made all the difference in the world that they can find a way to work their tails off and at the same time be able to look back and say, you know, that I don't know if I've ever had more fun than that. And those two things together, I think, make progress happen, and that's always the name of the game.
You know, when you take a look at the youth playoffs, especially in the districts and the regions, it's a double elimination setup. And then, you know, it's odd. You get to the state tournament, even in Pee Wees and Bantams, and it's a one-game elimination. Tell us, what's the key to not, you know, I mean, you want to have a little fear of loss, but you can't be flipped out on the same token. How do you manage that? in the one-game playoff?
I think it's tough. To be honest, I think it's not easy. I definitely think experience is a factor that makes a big difference. And in most programs, if you're at the state tournament, there's some programs where they're there, perennial year after year, and that experience is carried in. But oftentimes, if you're up there, you weren't there the year before. A lot of times, it's the kid's first trip, and so I think that part of it makes it difficult. I think if the kids are older, if they're seniors instead of underclassmen, I think they carry with them enough experience that oftentimes it's a little easier for them to manage kind of the fear of failure and carry with them the excitement to go win, to play their best. But I do think I don't think it's an exact science, and I don't think it's always easy. We've definitely had teams that have jumped in front of 18,000 people. The boys are just going, oh my goodness. And I think the kids just encourage the boys to get out and play the game. Yeah, there's all the hoopla, but we're still doing what we love to do, and get out and play the game and get into it, play hard, and settle down. And then after that, I think it's another tournament where you're hoping to live to play another day.
Well, it always comes down to preparation, because that helps in that situation if they know what they're doing, which everybody seems, you look down from the press box and every team, the coaches in this state, I don't think people realize how fortunate and blessed we are with the caliber and level of coaching that the high school league has right now. The thing, just to think outside of the box, and I've done this a few times on this topic but haven't really publicly stated it, I would love, and I know it will never happen, and I would love to get your opinion, I would love to see a double elimination or two of three set up, maybe in the sections. I know time, money, and the whole thing. But wouldn't that be kind of fun? Because you can be upset in one game and be a favorite, but to win two of three is a little tougher.
Oh, it would be. It'd be a whole different ballgame if that was the case. It would definitely, add a whole new concept to what's going on. And at the same time, it would eliminate a little bit of the David and Goliath underdog stuff if you're playing, several games or two games or three games or something like that. But I agree, it's not something I think that we're probably ever going to see, but it would definitely kind of change the outlook on things.
Fun to think about, indeed. I was taking a look at your conference. Faribault Falcons were a team that I spent some time with for the Breakdown magazine. We covered your team the year before, and lo and behold, there they were. Mr. Ryan had his squad right up at the top of the conference with your team. Tell us a little bit about the Big Nine and how you see that shaking down this year.
Well, I think, the Big Nine, as far as looking at this season, Faribault, has done a super job, I think, with both work ethic and having some players that are really of a high quality players that have a skill level that adds a ton to what they're doing. And they play a tough game, and last year we had a great battle with them, and they played both physical and played the game hard and just didn't quit. And I just see that they'll continue to be that kind of a team, and I think they'll continue to battle through this season for the Big Nine title. The John Marshall Rockets had a young team last year, and they got a good portion of that crew back, and under the direction of Scott Lisi and their crew, I think that they're going to continue to just improve and be really battling for their piece of the pie as look at the Big Nine Conference. And so I think those guys, those two teams are going to be teams to watch for and to keep an eye on as you come into the conference race.
And then you take a look at your conference. I noticed you guys cycle through one time with a 9-game schedule. I really like that as opposed to what the old Lake Conference, they had, it seemed like 3,000 teams and the whole season was played in the conference. Conscientious effort by the coaches in that conference to open up the non-conference schedule?
Well, I think, our conference schedule is changing it to 9 games or going with a 1-game rotation has given teams flexibility to mix and match and put into their schedule what they think would be best for the teams. And I do think, some of the non-conference games that we have as a team have definitely been great for us and for our players and for our program. So we look forward to, you know, to the season, the whole season, but we definitely are thankful for some non-conference games that really stretch us, and obviously, and give us that opportunity to go into a game where you maybe, like you said, a little bit scared, almost like in a state tournament setting, where you know if you don't bring your best game tonight, not only will you get beat, but you could get beat severely or soundly. And I think it's really good to have a mix in your schedule as far as teams. You certainly won't want to play every night with the idea that there's probably not a chance we're going to win. And you never want to have a schedule where you look at it and said to yourself that there really isn't any way we should lose any of these games, because I just don't think that's good for your team and your players as far as making progress and having your players push and build confidence. So I think it's really good to have a mix. And at one point in the season this year, we have a week where we start off on a Tuesday night with Lakeville South, and then Thursday night we play Minnetonka, and we turn around Saturday and play Bunnell St. Margaret's. And so, you know, a stretch like that, I think, gives us a chance in the season to say, hey, everybody wants to go to the state tournament. Are you ready? Is there any chance that, you know, we could progress to a point where we might be able to meet that goal? And so that's, I think that's a really valuable part of our schedule and something that we look forward to. I think that's true of other coaches as well.
You know, we live in such a result-oriented society where wins and losses have been used as measuring sticks for improvement on teams. From a coaching perspective, with what you've done over your years, how difficult is it to manage that? I know a lot of people can say, well, that's what the parents think, you know, I just do my deal. But the reality is the kids do go home to those parents and do have those discussions. Is there any way, shape, or form that you manage that? I mean, so let's say you do run into a three-game stretch, which you scheduled like that, and the teams are outstanding, and you know the results could go either way. How do you manage that?
Well, I think that throughout the seasons we've kind of done something consistent, and that is talk about progress. And really try hard to focus on how we're playing the game. And so, and I think as a coach, that sometimes means that we win a game, and yet afterwards when we just talk, we're not that excited or we're not that happy, possibly, because it's pretty obvious to us that we didn't play our best, that certain parts of our game are really missing or lacking. And on the flip side, there's nights when we lose a game, and at the same time, we can look at it and say, we did so many things well tonight, and at the same time, I don't think any of us can say we're happy. We're not happy we lost. The boys aren't satisfied with losing. They never want to go into a game and think that a close game would be great. So you don't. I don't think you become satisfied or complacent or accepting of losing. But at the same time, you're wise enough to look at how you played and say, you know what, that might just have been our best game of the season. And as you go through the season, if we can consistently say, look back 2 weeks and say, you know what, we are playing much better hockey than we were 2 weeks ago. Whether it's changing something major or whether it's tweaking some little things that, you know, just need to be changed. It could be as simple as saying that we've done a far much better job, you know, getting to the front of the net and creating traffic and screening goaltenders. Or it could be something like saying that, you know, our forecheck is far better than we've done it all season, and we're working better as a whole unit than we've done all season. So, to me, I think that's what it's all about, emphasizing progress, keeping our eyes on progress, and not getting too high or too low, which I suppose is cliche, but really being excited about progress instead of just looking at the wins and the losses.
Well, it sounds like the appropriate process then yields the results, and teaching that fine line. And I don't view that highs too high, lows too low as cliche, because as a youth coach in hockey and baseball, that's all I ever say. So I guess I am cliche, Bruce. But what do you do, right? Will you touch on your team real briefly? What you know of, what you've seen from the summer, as far as how you think your club's going to look, and anybody that's standing out to you, or if you don't want to say names, understand, because of tryouts.
Oh, I think uh, think the important things or the great things that we can see right now is what we touched on earlier, and that is I think there's a group of guys and just working with the boys this summer and talking with players even recent, it's just the last couple of weeks, about what they're thinking and what they're excited about. I think there's just a real hunger that was left over from last season. Guys that came in and wanted to really work hard and have been willing to do some of the little extra things already, and can't wait to get after it this fall if they're not involved in other sports, playing football or soccer or cross country or something like that. They're looking for opportunities to jump in and do some things preseason. And I think the other thing, and I stated this earlier as well, is that there's a certain excitement that it just carries with it, the idea that this is probably the funnest thing that we have a chance to do. And I know I'm biased, I'm a hockey coach, but there's a lot of great sports, a lot of things that are fun. And I certainly enjoy more than one, but in my mind, there's nothing more fun than hockey, and that includes practice. And I think that attitude is present in a lot of our players. So we've got players that are coming back, and goaltending positions, defense positions, and forwards. And we know that it's going to take every one of them working their tails off and coming together as a team for us to find a way to make a huge amount of progress this season and reach the goals that we set each year, which is battling for our conference title, winning our holiday tournaments, and finding a way to the section finals and beyond. So I think I'm excited about the season. I think the boys certainly are, and we've got a lot to look forward to.
Coach, you got me fired up. I'm going to lace them up. I'm coming down. That's awesome. That's exciting stuff. Well, that is going to be great. We're going to keep close tabs on your team, as we always do, and we'll be following you throughout the year, and I'll check back in mid-season, and maybe we can have a brief discussion during our Monday, Wednesday, Friday editions and of Overtime and go from there. So I appreciate your time, Bruce. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
That's Bruce Frutiger from Rochester Century High School as we talk another edition of Overtime. We'll be back next week with another special posting. Not going to let this one out of the bag. We got a very special guest. So long, everybody.
basketball and